Jesus, the name above all names. Amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is the name above all names.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amy, I tell you what, they get here and they don't want to stop fellowshipping. Somebody said if we keep talking, Pastor ain't got to preach today. I'm just kidding. Find a seat if you can. Amen. I tell you what, as I stand here and look out, I just have to tell you, you guys look amazing this morning. I think I need to try that again, Karina. You guys look amazing this morning. I love it. Well, family, continuing in our series, just in case y'all haven't figured out now, we're going to ride this thing straight on to baby Jesus coming. And what, how long before Christmas? How long we got? Another week or so? Not even 2 weeks. Amen. Continuing our series, may I introduce you to Jesus. There's a word found in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And I'm going to deal with the first 8 verses. Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to deal with the first 8 verses. I would ask if you found it, if you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. Romans chapter number 8. And just for our time this morning and for the sake of brevity, so to speak, I'll just read one verse in your hearing, and that will be verse number 1. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Romans chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 8 from the NASB, here's how my Bible reads. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I tell you what, I made it to the end of that verse. I couldn't help but start smiling. That's good news. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Family, I'd like to speak briefly this morning from this subject, the gift of Christ, part 2. The gift of Christ, part 2. Romans chapter number 3 through 5 deals with the imputation of God's righteousness. Last week, in particular, we discussed the supplanting of condemnation by justification. If we recall, condemnation refers to all men being declared enemies of God as a result of one man's transgression, evidenced by the curse, the reign of death on earth. Justification refers to believers being declared righteous as a result of one man's free gift, the righteousness of Christ. And it is evidenced by life everlasting. Well, Romans chapter number 6 picks up and issues with the believer's freedom from the guilt of sin and subsequent enslavement to the righteousness of Christ. It's not good enough to be free from the guilt of sin, but we need to be married or enslaved now to the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter number 7 deals with the believer's freedom from the spirit of legalism. I know we don't know anything about that at this church, but they tell me, Larry, it's a real thing. Romans number 7 deals with the believer's freedom from the spirit of legalism, the notion that any salvific value can be derived by keeping the law. Then the internal war being waged within the believer, or our renewed mind of God through new spirit, through the new spirit nature of life in Christ Jesus, is now at odds with the old sin nature of our ever-present flesh. And Romans number chapter number 7 brings us up to Romans chapter number 8, which we will deal with today. We'll be discussing the believer's victory over the flesh through the power of the life-giving Spirit of Christ. I think I'll say that again. Today we will discuss the believer's victory over flesh through the power of the life-giving Spirit of Christ. And family, I believe that this text is tailored to teach us this morning what it means for the believer to have the gift of the Spirit of new life in Christ Jesus soteriologically, theoretically, theologically, and then practically. I believe this text is tailored to teach us what it means for the believer to have the gift of the Spirit of new life in Christ Jesus soteriologically, theoretically, theologically, and finally practically. According to our text, the first type of power unleashed by the Spirit of life is, point number one, the power that conquers condemnation. The power that conquers condemnation is right there in verse number one. And what this speaks to, family, this speaks to the hope of Christ soteriologically, or as Fred would like to call it, positionally. That word soteriologically is a hard word to say, so we'll go with positionally, as Elder Fred would like to call it. It's right there in verse number one. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Quote, the fact that you are not condemned does not depend on your walk. It depends on your standing, end quote. R.C. Sproul. Family, Christ has taken away the sin of death and the curse, the gift of Adam that brought about condemnation, the declaration of enemies of God to all men. And Christ has exchanged it for his Spirit, the gift of justification, the declaration of righteousness, which brings life everlasting to all believers. Beloved, this is the apostle's thesis statement, if you will, for the entirety of chapter number 8. Indeed, now let us see him prove it, shall we? Not only the power that conquers condemnation speaks to the hope of Christ soteriologically, but secondly, we see the power that overcomes the old nature. Here is where we want to strap on our seatbelts. The power that overcomes the old nature. It's right there in verse number 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. The power that overcomes the old nature, this speaks to, family, freedom in Christ, theoretically. Freedom in Christ, theoretically. Let me explain. The law of the Spirit versus the law of sin and death. It's just that simple. This is what the Apostle Paul has presented to us this morning. There's no in between. Let me give it to you again. The law of the Spirit of life versus the law of sin and death. How is the Apostle Paul using this term law here in verse number 2? We must get this right or we will be lost with the passage. Let me draw your attention to Romans chapter number 7. Remember, chapter and verse divisions were not in the scripture originally, not inspired. Go back up to chapter number 7, and we're going to see how he is using this word law in verse number 2. Romans chapter number 7, verse 21 reads, I find then the principle, same word as law in NASB. That translates law. I find then the principle that evil is present in me the one who wants to do good. I find the principle that evil is present in me, me being the one who wants to do good. Hearkening back to this staunch reality, the Apostle Paul further espouses this idea here in Romans chapter number 8, verse 2, meaning this word law here refers not to the law, as in the law of Moses, which happens to consider it in the very next verse, verse number 3. But here, instead, it is synonymous with the word principle or rule, having to do with an inward operating drive, functioning with the certainty or the regularity of natural law. Very important. Look at the remainder of chapter number 7 after verse 21. Romans chapter number 7, verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, that's the law of God, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, that's the law of the flesh, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. Remember, we're talking about principles. But on the other hand, with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Very interesting thing. Law in verse number 2 is not the law of Moses. It is the principle that drives us. It is the law of natures. Let me give you an illustration. Consider the law of gravity. All objects with mass exert gravity upon one another. The greater the mass, the stronger the force. The farther apart the two objects are, the weaker the gravitational pull. In English, gravity is the force pulling everything towards the Earth's core. If y'all don't believe it, if I jump up, I'm coming down. And if I eat a lot of food tonight, if I jump tomorrow, I'm going to come down quicker. Are y'all following me? All right. If the law of gravity is true, how does this thing fly? Y'all see how big that thing is? Y'all see how much mass that aircraft has? How in the world does that fly? That's a good question. The law of gravity does not cease to operate on its great big giant aircraft, but a greater law, Larry, the law of aerodynamics, lift exceeds weight, thrust exceeds drag, is also acting upon this to overcome the law of gravity, allowing this massive aircraft to get off the ground. That's an illustration for you, Chris. See, the interesting thing Paul wants us to know is that law of sin and death, the law of the flesh, it don't go nowhere. When God comes into our lives, that's going to follow us the rest of the time that we're on this side. But he gives us his spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then comes alongside and overcomes the law of the flesh, allowing us to live victoriously. It's an amazing thing. Listen to this. Paul gives us the spirit of life versus sin and death. The spirit of life versus sin and death. What or who is the Apostle Paul characterizing by using these terms? I'm glad you asked. The spirit of life, God's gift of his Holy Spirit, which now worketh sanctification in us, a transformed life, the evidence of justification in the lives of all believers, is the antithesis of sin and death, which is Adam's gift to all men, resulting in condemnation to all. What then? What then is the apostle communicating in this verse? This is the hardest verse in the passage today. That's why I'm still on it. What is the apostle communicating with this verse? What is his point? I'm glad you asked. Paul is simply saying, are y'all listening? Paul is simply saying that those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit have received a new nature, one that desires to please God. And although their old nature, which desires to please the flesh, is still present, it has been rendered powerless. The Spirit of life, a greater power, conquers the law of sin and death, freeing us from its rule. It's an amazing thing. What does it mean for the believer to have the gift of the Spirit of new life in Christ Jesus? It means the power that conquers condemnation, speaks to the hope in Christ soteriologically. We have now the power that overcomes our old nature, speaks to the freedom in Christ theoretically. And then we have the power that voids the type. The power that voids the type. Now, if you were in Bible study Wednesday night, we talked about this type and anti-type thing. It's right there in verses 3 and 4. And what this speaks to, family, this speaks to the fulfillment in Christ theologically. This speaks to the fulfillment in Christ theologically. It's right there in verses 3 and 4. Back to chapter number 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Look at that first part of 3a. For what the law could not do. If you're one of the ones that write in your Bible, grab your best highlighter and right after that write, for you, for me. Let me show you how to read. For what the law could not do for me. It's an amazing thing. What the law could not do for me. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 1 through 4. I love the way it lays it out. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of the things, the law was a type of Christ. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered. Because the worshipers, having been once clean, would no longer have a consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. I believe this is the reason why John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. First time that ever that language had ever been used. It's an amazing thing. For what the law could not do for me, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. And right after God did, you write in your Bible, right, for me. God did it for me. Listen, what is he saying here? The antitype, Christ, the real thing that the type was pointing to, the shadow, the antitype has accomplished for us what the type never could. I can sit here and drill this thing home. It gets good to me every time I think about it. Maybe I'm the only one, Gary, that looks at the law and be like, man, I can't keep this for nothing. Ask Karina. She'll tell you. I'm always breaking the law. I'm talking about the law of God here. All right. I ain't robbing no banks. So don't come for me. I want to stay out of jail. Look at what Paul says in Acts, or Dr. Luke, shall I say, Acts chapter number 13, verse 38 and 39. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, through Christ, everyone who believes, that's the key word, that's the qualifier, is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. God did for me, Wayne, what no law, what no books, what no rules could ever do. Not to mention the fact I couldn't keep the rules anyway. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. To my legalists out there, I'm not talking to anybody in here. Nobody here is a legalist. But just in case you're a legalist on the internet, stop worshiping the law. While the law could not keep, maybe the law will keep you from killing your brother because you end up in jail if you do. But it can't stop you from lusting. See, the law won't help you with your porn problem. You can hear a pin drop right now. See, the law can make you change your behavior on the outside. It'll make you stop doing some things, especially when folk are around. But when you're by yourself, Larry, when you're by yourself, ain't nobody looking, that law can't fix what's going on in here. That's why we don't worship the law. The Bible says, as weak as it was through the flesh. That's what it means by that. Look at Romans chapter number 7, verse 5, just in case you think Pastor Orr is making this up. Romans chapter number 7, verse 5 says the same thing biblically, which means it has more authority than Pastor Orr's little illustration. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, that's the stuff that's going on the inside, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit of death. I know some folk don't like to hear bad news, but if you don't get the bad news first, what good is the good news? Without the bad news, the good news is just news. As a matter of fact, the law was given to impute sin to our account. Y'all remember last week, Romans chapter number 5, we talked about it, verse 13, for until the law was in the world, sin is not imputed when there is no law. God gave the law to Moses. People don't like this language. It's not my language. God gave the law to Moses so we can start charging sin to the account of men. Bible said before the law came, there was no imputation. There was no sin being charged to folk account. And yet they were still dying because we fell in Adam. The fact that death reigned, as we covered last week, was proof that sin was still here. But when the law came, make no mistake about it, it's being charged to my account. Why would I worship something like that? The law don't charge no righteousness to our accounts, and that is the key. Show me in this Bible where it says the law will charge righteousness to your account. Can't do it. Don't even try. There's a lot of better things you can spend your time doing. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Somebody said bad news always sets up good news. Look at 3B. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. as an offering for sin. Let me tell you what that means. That means basically Jesus came here 100% man. However, as much like us as he was, he wasn't exactly like us because he didn't have our sin nature. Jesus was not from Adam. Bible says Genesis 3:15, and her seed, women don't have seeds. Jesus came here not taking on our sin nature, but he fully took on our flesh. That's all that means. Look at the last part of verse 3 and 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. I like that part, verse 3 and 4. For the law could die new, weak as it was through the flesh. God did, sending his own son in likeness of sin and flesh as an offering for sin, for he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the requirement of the law. What's that mean? I'm glad you asked. Here is the requirement of the law. I want everybody to get your thinking caps on. Push the turkey and dressing out of your mind right now. Because I want you to catch this. I want you to hold it. Here's the requirement of the law. That's why we don't worship the law. Here's the requirement. Perfect holiness. That's it. Perfect holiness. Or you could say the perfect righteousness of God is the requirement of the law. Oh, but thanks be to God. Oh, my favorite verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is why we get up in here and put these clothes. This stuff ain't comfortable. We put this stuff on Sunday mornings. And we come here to worship God. And every day, Fred, is sweeter than the day before. Quote, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, end quote. R.C. Sproul. It's an amazing thing. Let me hurry up and get in my seat because y'all mighty quiet today. I sat up and stayed up working on this message. Y'all ain't giving me no feedback. Somebody said, hurry up and sit down. I get nervous when it's real quiet. I say, maybe they don't like what I'm saying. Josh, that make me want to preach harder. That make me want to preach harder. What does it mean for the believer to have the gift of the Spirit of new life in Christ Jesus? It means we have the power that conquers condemnation, speaks to the hope of Christ soteriologically. We have the power that overcomes the old nature, speaks to freedom in Christ theoretically. We have the power that voids the type, speaks to fulfillment in Christ theologically. And fourthly and finally, we have the power that pleases God. The power that pleases God. It's right there in verses 5 through 8. And what this speaks to, Jill, peace through Christ practically. Peace through Christ practically. Look at verse 5 through 7. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That's a good verse to memorize. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Why is it hostile toward God? For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. I'm going to go here. I thought I wouldn't go here when I was preparing my message because I said I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm going to go here anyway because I think we got to learn it bunch here. This verse is taken out of context all the time. It says, verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. That's not talking about the law of Moses. That means that a joker that's unregenerate, there is nothing inside of him that makes him, gives him a desire to please God. And he ain't even able to do so, even if it was. Why is this important? Because we read this verse and we look at other people that ain't saved and we look down on them. Let me, newsflash, can't none of us keep the law. Uh-oh, I'm treading on some thin ice here, Larry. It's amazing to me that Christians read this verse to a non-believer and put our nose up. We can't do it either. It's a misapplication. It's a misapplication. Listen here. Beloved, regardless of what any preacher or what any pastor tells you, there is no middle ground with God. There is no middle ground with God. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 19 through 25. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is it. You either do them or you don't. The deeds of the flesh are, you either rule by it or you're not. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And then we'll end on verse number 8. Look at verse number 8, if you will. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And those who are in the flesh. And there lies the tragic bookend to our beginning of our text this morning. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And here's the fact of the matter. You're either in Christ Jesus or you in the flesh. Now, it's an amazing thing because verse number 1 talks about the justification. Everything else, not everything, everything else. Thank you, Vody. Everything else is talking about sanctification. We're all at different points of being molded into the image of our Savior. We're all at different points. But make no mistake about it. If you ain't been declared righteous, I don't care how clean you think you are, hell will be your home. Somebody said, Pastor Orr usually don't preach like that. He don't talk about that stuff. Yes, I do. Unless you've been justified. Unless God sees me justified, never sinned, because I'm cloaked in the righteousness of Christ, which we've already said is the requirement of the law, I don't make it. Thanks be to God for the free gift in Christ Jesus. I got one last quote before I end. This is a good one. I had it at the beginning, Josh. I said, no, I need to put this at the end. It's powerful. Here it is. You go ahead and quote it for us, Josh. Josh said, don't do me like that. Here it is. Quote, the dust of the earth has blinded eyes that were meant for heaven. End quote. The dust of the earth, stuff that don't even matter, stuff that's going to burn up and be destroyed, has blinded eyes that were meant for heaven, end quote, Charles H. Spurgeon. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're not worried about, he's supposed to preach a Christmas sermon. That's your Christmas sermon. And I'm talking to you online. That's your Christmas sermon. There has been a gift that's been given. Will you receive it? Heavenly Father, help us to hide this word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For you who've joined us on YouTube, let me tell you, I am incredibly gracious. The word of God is going forth from this pulpit, and having you join us online is no small thing. As a matter of fact, if you would like to support our ministry, look at your screen. There's a QR code that's going to appear. Grab your phone, take a picture of the screen. Oh, you didn't catch it? After it's over, rewind it and go back and you'll see the QR code. Scan that and it will show you how you can give to our ministry that we can continue to effect change, life transforming change in our community here at North Oaks Baptist Church. I love pastoring North Oaks because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Y'all give God a hand clap of praise. Dave is back. Come on, Dave. You take your time. I ain't gonna tell them I was talking. I was thinking you was walking over here, but okay. They said I'm gonna wait till you move. Yeah. Come on over here, man. Let me put my arm around you. Thank you, man. Love you.
God bless you.
They don't know, but you guys have been tremendous in supporting me, and I am grateful.
Amen to that. And as we speak of the word of God, I'd like to close, see us leaving today. The word that God gave us through Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Come unto his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come unto his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Sing glory and honor and power